Hey, Marmac family, this is Danielle Lofton from Marmac's Public Affairs Office, and welcome back to the podcast that highlights the incredible workforce behind the leader of the ship repair industry, Mid-Atlantic Regional Maintenance Center. In this episode, we'll be speaking with retired Navy Captain Dr. John Cordell, who will give us a sneak peek on how virtual reality is revolutionizing Navy training programs. Then, we'll sit down with sailors from our Flex Hose Shop, who will talk about what they do day to day and share some insights on some of the changes they've noticed in Navy culture over the years. So stay tuned, because you're listening to The Maintainer Podcast.
Okay, hello everyone. I have Dr. John Cordell from ComNav Surfland on the phone with me. He is the person that was in charge of the VR training that we did here at Marmac. Dr. Cordell, how are you today, sir?
I'm great, thank you.
If you'd just like to take a second and just introduce yourself and what you do here for the Navy.
Sure. So my name is Dr. John Cordell. I'm a retired Navy captain with a surface nuclear officer, and I work now at Surfland as a human factors engineer. So I look at the sailor and what causes stress, what affects their performance, so things like fatigue, op tempo, and that got me interested in suicide awareness and suicide prevention.
Oh, wow. Okay. And if you could just talk to us about what you would like to accomplish by using virtual reality for those training programs.
Well, as you probably know, the Navy has a very aggressive suicide prevention and suicide awareness program. Your command has really been very proactive in looking at mental health and implementing programs to help out. And so what I've gotten involved with here at Surfland was really two or three initiatives that complement those efforts. One is called Safe Talk. It's a course that teaches you sort of the basics of understanding what suicide looks like and how to recognize the signs and how to get someone help. And then we were teaching that course both here at Surfland, and I think you teach it over at Marmac. And then we got wind of a new technology that was out there in SurfPack, which is a virtual reality suicide sort of a scenario. And so we decided that would be kind of a good 1-2 punch. Talk to the leadership, Dawn Vick out at Marmac, Captain Young, and they invited us over there to try it out. So that's how that came about.
For sure, yeah. And after seeing the VR training in person, it definitely is a very innovative thing. How would virtual reality training work alongside the current training methods that we already use here with the Navy?
Hey, that's a great question. You know, the Navy has a general military training for suicide prevention that kind of goes through the, you know, the nuts and bolts of the program and what to do to seek help, to act, cure, treat. Safe Talk is a Navy program. It's a sort of a seminar format, smaller groups with a facilitator to get you comfortable with sort of the discussing suicide, recognizing the signs of suicide. And there's a little, at the end of that, there's normally a little role-playing session for about 10 minutes where one of you pretends that you're suicidal and the other one tries to get you to talk about it, get you to acknowledge you need help, and then get you the help you need, like a chaplain or a doctor. What the virtual reality piece adds to that is it puts each individual in a situation where you are charged with sitting down with someone who appears to be suicidal and then talk them into letting you help them. And so it's full immersion. They use actors and AI to script a scenario. And then depending on how the actions that you take, the individual respond differently. And then what happens at the end is kind of cool is you get kind of a report card that said, hey, how did you do? For example, your command will get a roll up of all the people. I think you had 190 folks take it.
Oh, wow.
And you'll get a summary report. Hey, this many people engaged him in a direct way, this many in an indirect way, this many left him alone, and this many of them took him to get help, which is the goal, right? You don't want to leave somebody alone. So it really reinforces what you've learned in the other suicide prevention, suicide awareness classes.
Definitely, yeah. And what equipment and support is required to make this training available?
You know, that's kind of the great thing. It's pretty darn simple. There's a Pelican box that has headsets in it. Basically, you know, the typical, I forget what Oculus or whatever, the VR headset. And that headset is already loaded up with the scenario. There's actually suicide prevention and there's a sexual assault prevention scenario already preloaded. And you basically put the headset on, you put headphones in, and you use your eyeball to select the course and get it started. Use your voice to do the commands. and you just start to have a conversation, and you have to talk him out of it. So it's very intense, but that's, you know, that's what makes it memorable, I think, is it's one-on-one, and there's no way out. You can't just watch a PowerPoint or listen to somebody talk. You have to actually act and engage.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and how would people give feedback about what they learned and experienced with this VR training?
Great question. So there's already a feedback form embedded when you finish the training. You just click on it, and with the headset on, and it records your responses. And it's things like, you know, what was your level of comfort with this topic before the training and after the training? Do you feel like this is useful to help you prevent someone, you know, suicidal? And that gets rolled up and put into a questionnaire and a form that the command will get as a report card for basically how their folks felt about the training.
Very nice. Okay. And talking about leadership and workplace culture here for a little bit, how can this type of training help create a workplace where people feel safe and comfortable asking for help?
That's a great question. You know, I think the Navy's, I was in for 30 years and I've been out for about 10, but, you know, there was a time when people didn't talk about mental health and didn't reach out for help. Either they were embarrassed or they were afraid it might impact their career. You know, just yesterday or on Friday, I heard a 3-star admiral talk about how he had gone for therapy. And so, you know, to have leadership share their vulnerability, I think, is critical, because we all have times we need help. The second thing is you know, these courses are very specific in that they drive you to talk directly about it. It's not, you know, are you going to hurt yourself? Are you going to do something stupid? It says, are you thinking about suicide? And tie it back to their behavior. Like, hey, you know, you're spending a lot of money lately, or you're usually happy, now you're sad. Looks like your wife may have left you, or your spouse may have left you, or you're having trouble at home. You know, are you suicidal? Are you thinking about suicide? So it drives you to ask that direct question. So I think the difference now is culturally we're talking about it. You know, but I think there's an important piece to this too is, again, when you talk to suicide experts, there's two things that really help prevent suicide from a cultural standpoint. One is connectedness. So do the people feel like they're connected to somebody else that they can call for help and they can talk to? And the second is contribution. Do I feel like I'm important? Do I feel like what I'm doing is tied to the mission? Am I helping out? Am I contributing? And when you look back at those studies, they found a lot of the folks who had suicidal ideations or actually culminated in suicide were limited duty folks or folks that weren't assigned to a sponsor and didn't have that connectivity, didn't have that contribution piece.
Right.
So culturally, that's a piece. You can make sure that your folks are connected and make sure they know that their contribution matters.
For sure. I agree. And again, thank you for your time, Dr. John Cordell. I do know that training is very innovative, and I know that it's a new thing that a lot of people haven't tried yet, but I do believe that virtual reality is the future, and that's just all the time we have for today. So again, thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
My name is Harrison Cox, and I'm over here with code 946's Flex Hose Shop. Can you both introduce yourselves for me?
I'm MMN1 Foltz.
I'm MM2 Perez Santana.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, cool. So could you tell me a little bit about your rate and why you both decided to join the Navy?
So I'm a nuclear machinist mate. I joined the Navy because I was doing all right in college, but yeah. You know, decided that I needed a little bit more structure in my life and decided to retake my ASVAB, scored well enough. And he kind of gave me the little nudge. It was like, hey, there's this nuclear program you could try. And the rest is literally history. Wow. I was going to do 4 years, and now I'm going on 8. So
look at that. That's awesome. Okay.
A surface machinist mate. I joined the Navy about 6.5 years ago. I was doing college, but I didn't know what I really wanted. And also I wanted to like do something different. That pretty much influenced me to join the Navy.
But you were born in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
You're from Puerto Rico. Oh, wow. So you enlisted out of Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Born in Puerto Rico, born in Carolina, Puerto Rico. And raised in Bayamon.
Very nice. Okay, cool. So if you guys could just tell me a little bit about the duties of the Flex Hose Shop.
So on the surface, it sounds like we just make like garden hoses, but a lot of our work is integrated into pretty much every system on board those ships. And if you can think of a platform, we've probably done work on it, as well as other shops that we've worked with. We supply not only Marmac and our base, but Little Creek, Damneck, and then any ship that's associated with any three of those bases and more. We've kind of become the catch-all of building flex hoses. At the premises, yeah, that's all we do is build hoses, but some of those hoses are upwards of 300 to 400 pounds that we're getting fittings and parts for.
Yeah, also like doing cast reps, building like big hoses too, 6-8 inches, seawater hoses, hydraulic hoses.
Wow.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Sounds like a pretty big job. So yeah, what are some of the most common types of hoses that you both work with, and what are their applications on ships?
So the most common that we see, mainly because they're the largest ones, so maybe not by necessarily the amount, but just the sheer size of them, seawater and lube oil hoses. Almost all of those systems, especially on small buoys, have flexible hoses that attach, not hard pipe. But we do anywhere. The last one that was really arduous was on for the sonar system chillers. And it's just because they're completely metal hoses. They take a little bit more work and a little bit more testing, but there's really not a standard anymore. Half of our job is research and determining what we can do for the system. And the system dictates what type of hose is going to go on it.
And how do you ensure the hoses that you both create or repair withstand the tests of a warship?
We look at the fittings that we have, what pressure do they go to? And we'll go by the book, like test it, make sure it's good to go. Also, a lot of times the fittings, the pressure of the fittings go above the pressure of the hose. So
our testing criteria is 200% that of the highest rated pressure of that
hose.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what he was trying to say, because the system dictates it. Now we build what we receive. So if they bring us a hose to build, we will give that ship that hose, even if it's overkill for the system, because to downgrade that causes us to go into the ship's drawings, which aren't always accurate. But basically we get a system, we find out the pressure and the fluid going through it. We say the system goes to 300 pounds. We might use a hose that's rated to 500 pounds. That's already exceeding requirements. And then that hose alone is tested to 1,000 pounds because it's 200% of rated pressure. That's the key. That is the final step for us to sign off and say, yep, we can give this to a ship, because the safety is paramount when it comes to that.
Yeah.
How does the Flex Hose Shop coordinate with other shops or departments within Marmac?
So, well, the hoist hose shop is actually completely reliant on us. We literally have a horse hose shop at Marmac. Mm-hmm. We build all of their hoses. Pipe shop, the HTs, we actually perform all the hydrostatic tests for all of their welds. And that's kind of why I think we appreciate the shop so much, is because it's very integrated between everyone else there. We built a lot of good standing relationships, and it's allowed us to venture outside of just building hoses to learning a lot about pumps and piping and HT welds and hoist, even AC&R. Like if they need something, we can kind of do it all.
Okay. And this is questions to answer together. So how would you guys describe the teamwork in the Flex Hose Shop?
Teamwork, we're a pretty good shop. Like when we have a job to do, we go out there and do it. Mm-hmm. Like perfect. We have a good teamwork, pretty tight.
We've got good guys in there. They know when to work, and they know that when they work hard, their work efforts will be rewarded.
Wow. Okay. And if you could design a new tool or system to improve hose creation or repair, what would that be?
I actually have thought about this, and I'm about to make one with PVC pipe. I wasn't going to ask you, Perez, because I actually thought about this. When we did this 2 weeks ago, a ship lost a hose, and it's really hard to get exact measurements, especially in the tight spaces when there's a 90 degree. So think of just like an L, right? Mm-hmm. Just the shape of an L. That's the shape of the hose. And getting down in there to get the exact measurements from the point where those two parallel lines or those intersecting lines would meet, it could be as simple as PVC pipe, just oh, wow. being able to extend and measure that, because all the ones that they have online are lasers. Problem is that doesn't work on stainless steel surfaces that are reflective. It doesn't work because the center of those flanges or where that connects to the system are hollow. So you're not getting the exact diameter and or the exact links. So we have had in the past where we sent somebody out there to take measurements, and it was an inch or two off because the way the hose set in the fitting was different than the one that they had and what they told us. So now we send someone out there and tell them to take as many pictures as possible, and we really just brainstorm it together. And a tool like that, they could take it out there, they could tap both ends, tighten it down, and then basically bring us a pipe or a piece of wood. It doesn't matter. It could be something super simple, but it doesn't exist.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to, you know what, after this today, I'm going to go build it. I'm going to go to Home Depot and buy the PVC and see what I can do. Yeah. Something like that.
That'd be very, very cool to see. It sounds very innovative and everything, so that's very cool. What major positive changes have you observed in Navy culture during your time in service, Folds?
So there's definitely some good and bads, and they're always actively working to make things better for not only the chain of command, but also the individual sailor. You have a lot of these guys that are out at sea for sometimes 5 years at a time. When they get to a shore duty, they want to be on shore duty. And when we talked about earlier about implementing that inside of the shop and saying, hey, do your job, work hard, and I promise you we're going to do the best we can, because liberty is king. Yep. And our own CO was basically saying, like, yes, this is shore duty. This is their time to get their life back on track. They spend more time with their kids, more time with their families. If you came off the Ike, you spent, what, 230-something days at sea?
Yep.
And that was it. And now you don't want to come to a shore duty just to feel like you're just on a ship, but now you're stuck at work. Yep. So that was probably one of the biggest changes that they made, was seriously trying to improve the quality of life of the sailors, especially those on shore duty.
In your eyes, what is the most valuable skill that you have developed through your Navy service?
Technical skills, list is endless. But when it comes to life skills, and one thing that it has really taught me is there's a lot of different perspectives of individuals around the world. But one thing that I think a lot of people lack is that understanding of perspective. In the military, you meet people from all over the world, mainly all over the country, but you meet people from all over the world. We were just talking about Chris being born in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And their life experiences and the things that they see and the things that they grew up with may be different than yours. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It doesn't mean that someone's opinion about something is incorrect because they have a different perspective. And it's really taught me to take a step back, take a breath, and try to recognize who that person is and where they're coming from. The diversity in the Navy is... it's one of the most beautiful things about it, honestly. That's
awesome. Yeah.
So
you couldn't have said it better.
This is a key also for success.
For sure. Yeah. I totally agree. Well, guys, hey, this was a great interview. I do appreciate both of y'all's time. MM1 Foltz and MM2 Perez, thank you again for your time. And I just know that you guys have a very big job here at Marmac and the Flex Hose Shop, and you guys are doing a great job at it. So just keep on keeping on. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for having us.
Hi everyone, this is Flora from your mental health team over at CP200. As we celebrate this holiday season, I want to remind you all that it's absolutely okay if you're feeling overwhelmed or need someone to talk to. My office door is always open and you can reach me at 757-536-2547. Whether you're dealing with work stress, family matters, or just need a listening ear, I'm here to support you. Wishing you all a gentle and peaceful holiday season.
Hello Marmac family, this is Noelle, one of your mental health counselors. As we wrap up another year, I want to wish you and your loved ones a peaceful holiday season. Remember, taking care of your mental health is just as important as physical health. I'm here to support you, whether you need someone to talk to or just a quiet space to decompress. You can find me in Building LF18 or reach me at 757-837-8491. Take good care of yourself this holiday season.
This is Chaps coming to you with warm holiday wishes for you and your loved ones. During this festive season, remember that my door is always open if you need support or guidance or just someone to talk to. You can reach me in my office in Building LF18 and CEP200 or give me a call anytime. You can reach me at 757-647-3216. May your holidays be filled with peace and joy, and take care of yourselves and each other this season.
Hey team, CMC here. Just wanted to take the time to wish everybody a happy holiday and a blessed new year. Thank you for allowing me to be your CMC and just the great conversations that I get to have every day with every single person here at Marmac. It's just an honor and a privilege to be here, and I just look forward to the next few years serving alongside everyone here. We fix ships and we work together, and this is the best team in the United States Navy, even in the DOD, across the military. Marmac is the standard for all commands. So have a great new year. Enjoy your time with family, and don't forget you got family here at Marmac as well. Happy holidays and happy new year. CMC out.
Marmac family, many times I've been passed in the hallway and people say, is it what you thought? As the executive director, is this job what you thought? And so the answer, yes and no, but my working geniuses are galvanizing and tenacity. Unfortunately, I don't check as many boxes anymore as I used to. I actually have a hard time keeping up with all the boxes that you guys are checking. Y'all are doing a great job. Everything is truly amazing to see all the passion and effort from our people, over 3,000 of you guys. I really have a great team from the department heads to the deck plate. All I want to do is get out and meet everyone, make my mission more about the people, get out to the ships and desks and really see why you guys are the experts in what you do. So appreciate everyone and look forward to meeting everyone. Happy holidays to the whole Marmac team.
This is Captain Keith Foster, the executive officer. Just wanted to wish everyone a happy holidays and hope you enjoy your time with your families. Big thing is want to tell everyone how I appreciate the hard work that everybody's put in, from our IG to, you know, the fixing of ships. If you take a look at what's going on overseas, the ships that are out there engaging in targets, you had a direct effect on those ships getting underway and being out there to perform their mission. So once again, thank you so much for all that you do. Enjoy your holidays. XO out.
This is your commanding officer, Captain Jay Young, wishing each and every one of you a happy and safe holiday season. As we approach the end of the year, I want to take a moment to express my sincere gratitude to every member of the Marmec team for your exceptional service throughout 2024. Whether you were working on the waterfront or behind the scenes in LF-18 or CP-200 or many of our locations throughout Hampton Roads, your dedication has been the cornerstone of our success. 2024 has truly been a year of remarkable achievements. Together, we delivered USS McFaul back to the fleet 8 days ahead of schedule. We provided critical support to USS Harry S. Truman and USS Ross, and we saw our dynamic team over at Joint Expeditionary Base Little Creek complete their 10th undocking last month, setting a new standard for excellence. These milestones, along with many others, highlight our unwavering commitment to delivering world-class support to the Navy's operational needs. And none of this would have been possible without the hard work, resourcefulness, and commitment of each and every one of you. Your contributions make a real and lasting impact on the mission and the future of our command. So as we celebrate this season, let's also take pride in the vital role we play in supporting the Navy and its mission. Together, we make a difference, and together we will continue to excel in the year ahead. To you and your families, I wish you a joyful, safe, and peaceful holiday season. Take this time to rest, recharge, and enjoy the company of your loved ones. It's a well-deserved break after all that you've accomplished this year. Thank you once again for everything that you do. I'm honored to serve alongside such an outstanding team. So from my family to yours, happy holidays and best wishes for a wonderful new year. Stay safe and let's keep up the great work as we move into 2025.
And that's a wrap on our episode. However, before we officially wrap things up, I just wanted to share that this will be my final episode as your host. It's been an absolute privilege to help share these stories and important conversations with you all. Thank you to the incredible Marmec team and the Public Affairs Office for your support in getting this podcast off the ground. While this may be my last episode, I'm confident that this podcast will continue to shine a light on the extraordinary work that's being done here. Wishing you all a safe and joyous holiday season and continued success in the new year. This is Danielle Lofton signing off one last time. Take care.